at a weird time. Chase will pick off. Thank you, Chase. Chase will pick off where I left off and kind of take the meeting forward while I go, get through my cough. Hopefully the medicine kicks in and we're good to go. I'm also on vacation in Sun River. So I was kind of blessed that this house that we're staying in, it has 5G. So it's actually better internet than I have at home. So this is great. But if I get glitchy or if I sound weird, I'm working from a completely different platform than I normally do. So I apologize in advance for any inconveniences. So with that being said, we call the meeting to order at 6:02 at 6:03. Let's go ahead and jump into item number two. Is there any public comment at this point in time? Let's go ahead and hear if there's any public comment from anybody out there.
WRLC, raise their hand.
Oh, sorry, I muted myself. Yeah, go ahead, Caroline.
Thank you. Caroline Lopdahl, Western Resources Legal Center. I know that my letter outlining some concerns is now approaching its 1-year anniversary, and I understand that there's a process in place for the O&M manual. It's not clear to me based on the minutes where the district is on the O&M process, but I do think it's incumbent on the district to put a pertinent O&M manual that's, you know, collaboratively developed, consistent with the organization's mission and charter. And it's just unclear looking where I am, where the district is on that process. But with my letter being coming up to a year anniversary, I think that it's pretty important to move that up in priorities. If it's not a priority, which just on the outside seemingly appears to be the case. And then secondly, I attended the special districts meeting, and I know there were some conversations about, among other things, that this O&M manual. And I'm wondering, I understood that would be publicly available. I attended it, but the recording doesn't, as far as I see, hasn't been released to the public yet. And I'm wondering when that will come forward. Thank you.
I can answer part of that, Caroline. We got the recordings. I was going to update on the website. And as you probably, if you heard during that meeting, the O&M manual was part of the goals. We did finally get all the notes back from SDAO. And that's kind of on under the SWAT is going to be the getting all that stuff on the website so everybody can see and kind of get prepared for the annual meeting. And the O&M is part of that. So just to kind of let you know on that side.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was in the district over the weekend and took a couple pictures, and I was shocked at some of the water levels and the trees down. So I think it's just an important thing to keep at the center. So thank you for the answer, Chase. And thank you, Chairman, for the ability to make public comment.
Sure. Yeah, no, thanks for your public comment. We appreciate it. And just to add to kind of what Chase was saying too, just so everybody knows with regards to our O&M manual, we're finally getting, so what we'd like to do is we'd like to get a little subcommittee together, or at least I won't call it a subcommittee because that's probably too formal, but a couple folks from the board and maybe Chase to really tackle this O&M manual and make it a priority. But we finally, you know, we're getting back on track with our annual meeting, and they're, instead of doing them in June or July or whenever, we're actually doing it in February this year. And so with a couple of the board members up this year, we wanted to wait till after the annual meeting, just in case there was any changes to the board before we set that committee up. So as soon as the annual meeting's over, we're going to put this towards the top of our priority list. So I appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that response.
Yeah. Okay. So let's jump. Is there any other public comment? I'm sorry. Anybody else in the public have a comment they'd like to make? I'm hearing none. So, okay, let's go ahead and move to item number three. So we need to improve the agenda. Chase, I think that the only thing on there that I think you actually ended up finding and putting on was the SWAT update. So I appreciate you doing that. And then the COLA at the last minute. I checked for final numbers around noon today. I need to check again, but I think the numbers are in. So I appreciate you adding that.
There. I got them all.
You do? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. And the only thing I would like to make in a kind of a adjustment to the agenda is the 11:29 minutes I have not received, so they're not ready for approval, nor the 12:14 special meeting minutes. So the only minutes for approval would be the 12:08:2022.
12:08:2022 minutes for approval. Okay. Okay, perfect. Well, with that being said, I think we need a motion to go ahead and approve the agenda as presented so we can dive right into the meeting minutes. Anybody want to make a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Let's go ahead and vote.
Rob, sorry. Yes, I'll just second that for the record.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, so Len moved and Karen seconded. Let's go ahead and I didn't hear any discussion, so let's go ahead and vote. All in favor of approving the agenda as permitted with Chase or presented with Chase's comment about the 12:08 meeting minutes being the only minutes up for approval, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Motion passes. Okay, so let's... the president's message, there's really, hold on one second, please. Sorry about that.
Rob.
Yes.
Let's take care of the, before you do your president's message, let's take care of the next item on the agenda, which it's the cough.
Yeah, it's multitasking. No, you're right. Okay. So we've got meeting minutes from 12:08 that we actually need to approve. Huh? Okay. Did anybody have a chance to review these meeting minutes or did anybody not have a chance to review them? I know they went out a couple days ago. I looked through them earlier this morning and I didn't see anything on there that I noticed stood out.
They've been up on the website since Monday.
Since Monday, okay.
It might have been last week too. So they've been out a while. I don't want to make it sound like it's only been a couple days.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just looking back to see if I made any notes when I reviewed them and I did not. So I think I will go ahead and move to approve the December 8 minutes.
Okay.
That's great.
I'm sorry, I cut out a little bit. Did I hear anybody second that to move to approve the December 8th minutes as presented?
I'll second.
Thanks, Lynn.
Is anyone else having difficulty with the video and audio? That's where my problem has been so far.
I can hear you fine, Gary. I can't see you, though.
Okay, good. I'm just not hearing everything that's being said and had trouble getting in, so it's probably on my connection.
Are you able to see the minutes on your screen, Gary?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, right now I'm looking at the agenda, but.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Okay. So Karen moved to approve the December 8 minutes as presented. Lynn seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. Let's go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Okay, sorry about that. I was telling somebody before the meeting, I have two or three screens on my desk that I'm usually pretty spoiled. I can have the agenda on one and then the meeting on the other, but working off the laptop, I only have one screen. So I apologize for the agenda fumble.
And I just wanted to, before we move on any further, in the way of introductions, Rob, it looks like I can see everybody's icons, everybody's name tags on their Zoom, the spaces on the Brady Bunch squares, but there's a phone number and maybe we should try to identify who that is for the record.
Sure, I do see. I'm glad you brought that up because I see that now. I had to scroll down quite a ways. I see that Kyle's joined since we started the meeting, and then I see a number what is it, 503-543-6573. If you can hear me, do you care to identify yourself or would you like to remain anonymous? Okay, I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. And that caller that caller might want to mute themselves if they're able.
Sure.
Okay. And then do we have everybody else in the notes? I think Amanda probably has that already, so.
Yeah, and we're recording it too, so we'll make sure that everybody's on there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. On this laptop, I can only see 3 or 4 people at a time, so this is great.
Yeah.
I have everybody written down, and that phone number is Marie's phone number.
That's Marie. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you have Debbie and Caroline and Jeremy Jones and Bob Short, Jeff Winker, Lori Mapes, Kyle. Is that everybody? Yeah.
I think Mr. Condit joined too.
Okay, Jeff Condit, good.
Hi, Jeff. Sorry, we started at 6:02. We gave you a couple minutes, but we jumped right into it.
I made it at 6:03. I've been quiet.
6:03.
Well, there you are. Great. Oh, I'm glad you're here.
So, yeah, and if anybody else pops in the next few minutes, please go ahead and say something like Karen just did, because I don't see that on my screen. I just see Len, Karen, Amanda, and Chase right now.
I'll try to make a note, because it alerts me when someone comes in. Sometimes I get going and just hit admit. So,
sorry. Okay.
Well, thank you all for being here. I know we already called meeting to order and did introductions, but I really appreciate you being here. And for those of you I didn't say hi to, I apologize. Hi. Okay, so jumping down to agenda item number 5, the president's message. I don't have a whole lot to report at this time, because most of what I had to report we're going to go over in the manager's report. A lot of this meeting is going to be focused on approving the COLA, and then the other, I would say, second or first and a half most important thing is the SWOT update. And I have something I'd like to present and run by the board when we get to 7F(1), the SWOT update. So no president's message, no formal president's message that I'll be sending out tonight. We'll just go ahead and jump right down to number 6, company financial review and expenditure approvals, please.
So I'm going to run over what's been since the last meeting. The big line items, of course, electricity. We've obviously been pumping a lot of water, and that'll be a kind of a multi-step payment process, as usually this time of year. But this time, I think we'll have more than adequate time to accomplish it using the credit card and the checking account. Last time when we ran up against Martin Luther King Day, it created a challenge from a state pool transfer to a credit card payment transfer to the whole thing. But this year we should be good. The only other big one was the Miller-Nash invoice. Most all of that invoice was for the subpoena compliance and scrubbing the files that we sent over to the attorneys. Other than that, it's been pretty standard. Transactions. It's this time of year. It's not a lot of field ops, so there's not those big transactions coming through. So, is there any questions?
I don't have any questions, Chase. I looked it over when Janelle sent it out on Monday, and I didn't see anything that stood out to me.
Don, I guess we can go ahead and get a motion to approve in second.
Oh, I apologize. I'm on mute. If there's no other comment to the transaction list by date, we would need a motion to approve the expenditures as presented.
Also move.
Thank you, Lynn. Can we get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Gary. Any discussion? Okay. Let's all vote on approving the transaction list as presented. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Yeah, judging by the electricity bill, he definitely been pumping some water, it looks like, Chase.
And then to follow up on this, Janelle, given the reports presented, has requested a state pool transfer of $22,000. That was in her email that she sent to the board. We get a motion to approve that or change it. I don't have any adjustments to that amount this month, so it is as it is.
Okay.
Go ahead,
are you going to move?
Sure, I'll move to approve the state pool transfer of $22,000.
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, the motion to approve a $22,000 transfer from the state pool, made by Amanda, seconded by Karen. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Okay. We'll just back up real quick. Give me 1 second. Wi-Fi's going crazy. All right, Chase, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself and let you jump in to your thing. And then, like I said, when we get to the COLA, you know, there's some stuff to do there. But I'm really actually really excited to hear about your employee handbook topic. So I'll go ahead and mute myself.
Oops, let me get to the top. So I guess starting off, an update on the Evans pump. I've been in contact with Bay Valve pretty regularly over the last several weeks, kind of seeing where this process is moving along. They had to do a little bit of work to the propeller to get it to balance. The sheathing inside the shaft needed to be adjusted, and they completed that a couple days ago, and they're hopefully going to get the reassembly done by the end of this week, which would be tomorrow. I guess for the most part, I'm hoping that this will be done and wrapped up. Reed Electric still has the motor, and then hopefully in the next week or two, we can get this thing reinstalled. As I reported last month, the multiple holes in the Sternberg discharge pipe, we used basically a rubber patch as a stainless bander to plug those holes. It's also probably indicative of a much larger problem. I think that pipe is getting pretty thin on the sidewalls. One of my goals since I got here was to move away from these catwalks that kind of littered the district through the years. I've accomplished that in a lot of pump stations. I turned the video off. Sorry. You won't actually see me. And I was able to get that done this last month for the Evans intake. The Evans intake's kind of different than the rest of them. It's a multi-unit intake system. Instead of just a solid intake, it has multiple different grates in there. But I was able to finally kind of build a rake that allowed us to clean all of this from the upper concrete catwalk, or the level, basically, essentially. There's still a few minor tweaks that I want to do to it, but it's already multiple times better than it was and multiple times safer. And I'm hoping that we can just get rid of these catwalks altogether. I just want to move away from them and not even deal with them anymore. I'm not sure if anyone noticed, we had a pretty good rain event at the end of December, right after Christmas. There was, I think we got 3.6 inches of rain in 24 hours, which I think set a new record for this area. The Jackson Creek diversion, of course, it overtopped. It's just too much water for that diversion to handle, which exacerbated the backup behind Columbia Avenue. The structure itself actually seemed to perform exactly as it's designed. The south tide gates never became overwhelmed where they begin to flood the area up there. It did create quite a bit of problems around the rest of the district. The Kessie pump station, I'm not sure what happened, but it immediately blew the log boom out, and it all basically ended up inside, up right up against the pump station. We were able to borrow an excavator from a local landowner to remove those logs. I thank them for that, and it definitely made our life a lot easier that day. And then with the high water behind Columbia Avenue, the number two pump. We've kind of heard about it, but we were actually able to witness the leak in the discharge pipe. It's near the back wall of the pump station. The number two cherry orchard pump, actually, we had to go down there and manually turn it on, and it ran for 24 hours. I've never seen it operate that long. It's usually just a couple hours and it's done. We lost power to the Hoban pump station. I contacted Cal Portland and let them know that they might be getting some water back there on the backside of their property. But the PUD was able to get her rather quickly and get it restored. And the worst was the Johnson pump station. The number two intake, the kind of the problem we've had through the years, reared its ugly head again. This time it actually snapped the cables and actually tore the metal that was the cables were attached to. This sub base in the water is still very high. We've only been able to run one pump at this time. I met with some local landowners in Cal Portland, and we went out there and tried to take a look at this to move away from this cable retaining system. And I have to meet with a guy at Cal Portland on Monday, and they're hopefully going to fabricate a metal frame where we can actually support the bottom of this intake and hold it down during these events. And so it was just kind of a wild couple days, that's for sure. I'm sure everybody noticed around the district the amount of water that was just standing in fields, driveways, even in the city sub-basins. And then in the middle of that, the Army Corps of Engineers called, and I knew there was going to be a site visit coming this year. I had one at Deer Island last year, and they said Scappoose would most likely be this year. They've changed the name to a site visit. They used to call them a routine inspection. These are the these inspections are the lower, I guess, lower intense inspections. They're usually just kind of a ride along, look at the levee, some of the interior infrastructure, questions, just kind of make sure that, you know, we're progressing or maintaining what we have. It's the periodic inspection is the one that was done in 2019. It was a formal, very involved multi-day process. This is kind of a half day drive around, kind of talk about the district. That's scheduled for the end of February. Other than that, the Evans pumps they're set to that 3.7 to 4.4 range. The amount of rain we've had to run two pumps multiple times. We're basically running them manually. It's kind of the trying to find that balance in there, because two pumps sometimes overwhelms the water and gets so far ahead of it so quickly. And so you're trying to just balance the pumping the water out and getting out as efficiently as possible without hurting the pumps. The Honeyman pump's off for landowner request. I guess looking ahead, like I said, the reinstallation of the everyone's pump and motor, we're working on securing the number two intake using that rigid metal frame. Without that second motor pump at the Johnson, that sub basin, just the one pump just can't keep up, especially during these winter seasons. We have been doing more non-mechanized tree removal. Probably seen JR out on the sub or on the perimeter levee cutting trees. And with that, it's basically just kind of keeping up with the same operations we've been working on for the last several months. And on personnel, I was able to modify the handbook we were given to us by Miller Nash. The handbook was a kind of a different type of an organization, so I went through and kind of completed the legwork on it to make it more match what the SDIC is. I sent that to the board for them to look at and hopefully receive some feedback. The handbook we got from SDAO was a little too much. This one was more apt to what we need, but it still had the legal components. I kind of took some of that and then kind of Rob had sent me some of Cal Portland's handbooks and tried to meld them together and make something that would work for us. And then with the January 1 change to the paid Family Medical Leave Act in Oregon, part of this handbook needs to be updated because it basically all changed on January 1. And we were able to, Amanda and I did do the Field Operations Tech annual review, and that was completed a couple days ago. I'll kind of pause there. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, Chase, have you received, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Have you received any feedback from the board yet on the handbook draft?
I have not.
I do have some, but I didn't get to reading it until today. So,
yeah, no problem. I just want to make sure, you know, Chase has put a lot of time and effort into this handbook, and I want to make sure that we move, you know, we keep it moving. So if everybody on the board in the next couple of weeks could take some time to just kind of peruse through that, it's really well done. I do have some feedback for you, Chase, that I was going to send over to you before the meeting. I haven't done that yet, but all in all, from a 30,000 foot view, it looks really well done. So thank you.
Do we need to, are we just introducing it today and then approving it at our next board meeting? Is that what your hope is?
Yeah, that was my hope, was to get this out there, get feedback. Because it does, at the end of the day, it's going to be have to be vetted by Miller Nash, but I want to complete most of the legwork, if you will, because there's some, like I said, after January 1, there's some changes to that Paid Family Leave Oregon Act. And so, but I want to get kind of the SDIC, I guess, you know, hands wrapped around it on what it needs to look like from our end, and then they can clean it up on the legal aspect side of it once we have it approved to send to legal. That was my hope. If anybody else has any other ideas, I'm more than willing to listen.
That sounds good to me. So how do you want us to get feedback to you? Just send you a... How do you want us to proceed with that?
If you could take the form that I sent you and save it in a separate file, Word file, and then go through and make your adjustments in like a different color. And then we can kind of just meld it all together. Because as you can see, I didn't change it. I just redlined it. And then like I did last time with the other employee.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you can pick a color, and then that way we can kind of hopefully meld it all together.
Okay.
The metal bracket you were talking about for the Johnson pump device to help hold it down, am I assuming that that's like a temporary fix for now, and going forward, are we going to come up with a different plan? Because I know you had mentioned a few other problems with that pumping station, that it seems like the design in a whole just isn't really working, and maybe we need to do something different going forward.
Yeah, that was my plan. I mean, as you well know, Amanda, that without having that pump operating, it definitely hurts that sub basin. And so I'm just trying to get us into a drier part of the year. It could be permanent, it could be temporary, decide what we end in the future. I just want to be able to operate that pump station for the landowner's benefit to get us, because right now, I mean, you couldn't get anything out there to even work on it. It's just the location of that pump station, as you know, is pretty difficult to access this time of year. And so we're trying to just get it where we can have the capability to pump water, and then we can revisit it later. That was my thought. Of course, it's up to the board, but that was what I was thinking.
I guess I noticed in the last, it seems like every year since I've lived here, it's failed in some way every year. So I just thought maybe it's time to look at fixing that one too.
Chase and I have had some discussions on that. And I think we were in agreement that whatever he's looking at doing right now is a temporary fix, then we need to have a more permanent fix going forward, because it has been ongoing, like Amanda suggested.
Bruce Estock just entered the meeting, Amanda, for your record. Or I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chase. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
So with that, I guess we can kind of move forward. Really, the only 408 is cabin materials. Really haven't received any update. I'm assuming they're still processing the geological borings on that end. The last meeting, I reached out to them, and they said that's basically where they were, and I haven't heard anything since. On the accreditation Lomar side, so the city of Scappoose, they were having some communication with West about getting the updated interior drainage analysis done. I know there was some contact between Business Oregon, Columbia County Economic Development, and West trying to get that put through, but they were making sure that, I guess, part of their bid with that was a infrastructure analysis, deficiency analysis that we've talked about in the past, and they're wanting to make sure that that gets completed at the same time. And so that I believe they're waiting for that part of the process to be completed.
The infrastructure deficiency analysis, that's what they're waiting for?
Yeah, on the west side of it. And it was only just a couple components that kind of basically involved the cities kind of around the city of Scappoose. It's not the overreaching one that we talked about during the strategic planning meeting that's in the goals, but we'll see that in the SWOT analysis too. But this has some of it for the city's perspective, which if they're willing to pay for it, that's great too. With that.
I'm sorry, did you say that West is also doing that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure how they do it, but apparently it can be done within that Flow 2D model system. I'm not familiar with it, so I don't really want to speculate, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll hear an update from them at the annual meeting.
So to kind of get on to best practices, thing was the strategic planning meeting and SWOT analysis, kind of as I mentioned earlier during the public comments. We received all of the draft notes, the draft basically goals and plans from SDAO a while back. And then we also received the member feedback that had been solicited as part of their process. And we have all that information. And my plan is on the website, we have the strategic planning basically page. And so then what I want to do now, and this is entirely up to the board, and Rob and I have kind of talked about this a bit, is put up notes, update the website of kind of where we are, where things stand, how we're going to move forward. And basically what we want to make sure is we have an opportunity right now to solicit input from everybody. We have an annual meeting coming up, and this is an opportunity. We send out a mailer. This is probably one times a year where we send a mailer to everybody, every member in the district. And in that, there's usually an annual report, president's annual report. And in there, we can use that opportunity to alert members that might not normally ever care or be engaged to give us feedback, kind of with the idea of we're trying to reach out to everybody beforehand so we don't end up trying to backtrack later on with people that said, well, you never contacted us. This is our best way to reach everybody in the district. And so with that, then we can either direct them to the website, and then we'll provide in that website channels where they can submit information, send us information on the goals basically that the board had came up during the SWOT meeting. And then during the annual meeting, we can briefly cover those goals where all the members can kind of be engaged at that time. And then the board can take that information after the annual meeting and kind of move forward with it. Cause there's a lot of goals in there. One of them was the O&M manual, as I mentioned earlier, but there was also the infrastructure, the non-maintenance infrastructure upgrades, if you will. And I'm sure there's people, those are kind of the big ticket items that I think people would really want to have their input heard on that. And I think by doing it coinciding with the annual meeting, it provides an ample opportunity for everybody to get heard or at least be told about the process that wouldn't normally be concerned with SDIC matters. And that was kind of on the SWOT process moving forward. That's what we had had in mind. And of course, I mean, the board definitely want to hear your input on that. So
Chase, yeah. How do you treat the 165 units at Spring Lake?
there's 165 residents at Spring Lake that are in the district physically. Okay, it's the strange operation because it's a co-op, but are we sending it to to the manager, or are we sending it to that? You know, that represents almost 15% of our residential facility operation.
Well, Spring Lake Community is one member. They don't, because they're a co-op, if you will, Spring Lake is a member. So what they decide to do is really up to them. And then this is just input. These inputs to the SWOT analysis are not weighted. So just because 150 Spring Lake people send in a letter, it doesn't mean that they get 150 votes. There's not really a voting process tied to this. This is
right. I realize it. Right.
Yeah, it's more or less just guidance for the board to make their decision by soliciting as much possible public input as we absolutely can.
Okay.
And just to be clear, sorry, I've got, I think there's at least a half dozen kids upstairs that are making noise, but so Spring Lake gets one letter, and what they choose to do with that letter, if they choose to distribute to the residents or whatever, that's beyond us, obviously. But is there a way for the residents that live in Spring Lake to provide us feedback directly by going to the website and everything, or will they have to go through their management or their, you know, superiors or whatever, and then have those folks contact us directly?
Well, my thought was on the website is we basically just provide an opportunity for the public to provide input. And they can send it to us, email it to us. And then that way we can get all the input we need. I'm not assuming we're going to receive a lot of outside, but someone that's in Spring Lake, I mean, being a public entity, they can come and say what they want. I mean, we can't close it to anybody, but that information, how the board takes it, is how they're going to make their decision.
Yeah, it makes sense. Thank you. Does anybody have, or any board member at least, have any issue with the concept that Chase just presented as far as how to move forward in the SWOT analysis that they'd like to state?
No, I just think it's a good time. That's a really good timing for us to be able to do that at the annual meeting like that. It's very good timing. And I think it's the right point in the process to get some feedback on what SDAO has prepared for us.
Thanks, Karen. Anybody else have any comment or concern? You good?
I guess with that, there's nothing else. We can move on to SCAPU Stormwater. So Chris Nagelspaw emailed me last week, and they have received the draft or initial draft of the stormwater master plan for the city of Scappoose. He mentioned that there's some internal review questions that are going around, because I guess the stormwater master plan gets tied to the infrastructure funding part of it. And so they were trying to kind of hash out how those two things are going to meld together. They plan on having a public meeting, no decisions being made, in February 6th. I followed up with Chris several days ago, trying to figure out the process of how do we obtain this draft for our review. And I'm waiting to hear back from him on how we go about actually getting this plan. So it's out there, it's on the radar now. So I'll be checking back. I have gone back and looked at the 98 master plan just to kind of refresh myself with the way the lay of the land. There's been a lot that's changed since then. But it's still part of the master plan, and this is something that we'll definitely have on our radar to attend this public meeting, just to hear where the city is.
That was my question for you, Chase, is were you planning to attend that?
Yeah, I got, last week was pretty busy, but yeah, we got some public meetings coming up, and the mercury down below that you can see, there's meetings coming up on that are going to be pretty hot and heavy. So, but
I'm planning on being there too, Chase, too. So,
yeah. And so, and the way this works, and I remember we went through this last year, is this is the city of Scappoose's meeting. So the entire board can be there. Everybody can attend. It's not an SDIC meeting. This is a Scappoose, City of Scappoose meeting, and the board can attend without having a quorum because we're not doing any SDIC business. So if the entire board wants to attend, go for it. And I would encourage it.
Is it going to be on MS Teams or?
Yeah, it's usually a hybrid. So the City of Scappoose has been, I watched one of their meetings the other day about a subdivision down in the flood bottom or whatever it was. they do a hybrid. I think they allow a certain number of people into the actual council chambers, and then they have a MS Teams. I joined through MS Teams, so, or Microsoft Teams.
Can you, if you get access to that link, it would be really helpful if you could send it to us. Okay. Yeah. And what was I going to ask you about that? Oh my gosh, lately I'm just forgetting everything like the second after I think it. So yikes. Well, if I think of it, I'll ask you.
Chase?
Yeah.
In regards to stormwater, 3.5 inches of rain, if the airport's airport had been approved or completed, that would have given us about 3.5 million cubic feet of water that they would have dumped into us in 48 hours. How would that have affected our pumping?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of an open question there. I don't know what the release out of those catch basins is.
I think it's 48 hours max. That's the FAA code. So that
I'd have to look. I mean, I don't know on the math on that. I mean, I know just the 3.6 inches that fell on the district in our drainage area. I was doing the math the other night, and it was, I mean, the millions and millions and millions of cubic gallons.
Absolutely.
And that water, I mean, the water obviously landed on Air Park last week, just like it did everywhere else. So that water basically already came to us, and we dealt with it.
Well, but not the difference between landing on the Air Park right now when it's not improved versus when it'll be a hard surface, it's about a 95% factor. So that water, it did not show up at our doorway. It part of it absorbed, part of it, it just doesn't, we don't get the billions of gallons in the district that when it rains 3.5 inches. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a multiple, but we only get the natural flow of it. Okay. So what I'm saying is when you have impervious surfaces at that rate, 300 acres of impervious surfaces will generate in that thing about 3.5 million cubic feet of water on 3.5 inches of rain.
Yeah, it's a good question, Lynn. I think it'd be hard for us to, and Chase, correct me if I'm wrong, it'd be hard for us to quantify. Flippantly, I'll say that when we were standing out there in the middle of the night trying to keep enough water coming to the second pump to keep it running, I probably would have welcomed a little bit more water, but
but not that much. Yeah,
a lot of freaking water. So I'm just being flippant, like I said, but no, it's definitely something we'll need to keep an eye on, and we'll need to make sure that we're working with Air Park and they're working with us and keeping us in the loop, because if it does change, especially maybe not the volume, but the speed at which we receive the water, if there's a change there, we need to be prepared.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing it up. Hey, Chase, I don't mean to interrupt, but can you scroll up a little bit? Was I asleep when we were on personnel and 12:23? We were going to go over coal under personnel too, right?
Oh, that's right.
There you go. Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. And we can keep moving on. That's fine. I mean, let's go ahead and finish your report too, because I know I want to spend a little bit of time on the COLA just because it's important. So yeah, okay. I just want us to forget. I made a note of it, but go ahead.
Yeah, and it's basically so last week on the Mercury, let's go to rental home. I know Karen has an update there.
I don't think there's really any actions that we need to take as a board. I just wanted to address for the, you know, public good that we, there were some questions last month about inspections that are done for us by our property management company. And I actually called our property manager and asked about that. And she sent us an email outlining what they do annually and what they recommend that we do for seasonal maintenance on the rental home. And so I sent that around to the board members and Chase so that we can all be aware of what the property manager does for us annually and also when a tenant moves out. And so that's all. And does anybody have any questions or comments about that email that Harlow sent? Nope. I think it's informative for us in terms of creating a sort of a maintenance schedule. There's some suggestions there. So if we want to, you know, do our best to stay on top of things, that house and keep it up. She's got some helpful suggestions there that I would ask Chase to think about how we want to approach. That's all.
No, I appreciate that email. It lays out a good kind of template for the annual maintenance of the home and the rental home. And it kind of breaks down what they do and what we don't do. And so that's mm-hmm. kind of a good line to have. I'd have to review it again. I can't remember exactly what was in there. So it's been.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we are staying on top of things there so we don't have to, you know, spend unnecessary landowner resources.
Yeah,
the house was a big project. The remodel was a big project and a big investment for us. And I think it's going to be fine and going to pay off over time. But we just have to keep it up.
And I don't have the right notepad in front of me, but from when I recall when that email first came out, Karen, and you forwarded it to us, I think I made a list of things that I thought that they recommended that we take care of that I thought we could do in-house. And there were some other things on there that I thought we might need to contract out to. So maybe we could have some more conversation about that too, and then just come up with a plan.
Okay. I'm all ears. Or I can help make a plan, whatever you like.
Any other comment on rental home? I don't really have anything for legal. I don't know if anyone else has any follow-up, if Jeff has any input that he's received.
I talked to Caroline once, but otherwise it's been blissfully quiet at Millen Abbey.
Has there been any feedback on the subpoena compliance, if they're happy with what we sent them, or has that been, I guess, fulfilled?
Yes, no news is good news on that front. I have not heard anything. Of course, they reserve the right to come back and ask us for some additional information once they've gone through it. But so far, I haven't heard anything. And so I will definitely keep the board posted if, in fact, that changes.
Okay.
Were there any action items from your conversation with Caroline, Jeff, that we need to know about?
You're muted.
You're on mute, Jeff.
No, she gave me a courtesy call and she asked if I knew about what was going on with the plan. And I told her, I didn't have any recent information since last meeting. And so she said she was going to attend and ask. So that was the upshot of the conversation.
Okay.
So I guess with that, if there's no other input we got. So last week, I received several emails from the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality and actually some courtesy emails through members in the district alerting me to make sure I'd seen these emails. Basically, I guess what has happened, I had a long conversation with Andrea Matsky at DEQ 2 days ago to try to get her take on what's going on. And so basically what has occurred is the DEQ was sued by somebody, I don't know, it doesn't really matter, about the Willamette Basin temperature TMDLs. These were completed multiple years ago. And apparently they are inadequate. And so what's happened is the DEQ, through litigation, is compelled to update these TMDLs with, I don't know if it's new information or new science that's come out, but either way, it was determined that whatever they did was wrong and they need to update it. Where it could affect us is, as with mercury, when the original mercury TMDLs were done, water conveyance entities weren't involved. When the new mercury was done, we were pulled into it. And so that's why we had to do the mercury TMDL, which is in process and still completing. And what could possibly happen is water conveyance entities, the SDIC, could also be dragged into the temperature TMDL. I talked to Andrew quite in length about this. There's advisory committees that are happening rather quickly, within like the end of February, that are supposed to get together. I think they're concerned members of public, public interest organizations get together, and they have these rulemaking advisory committees, and they come up with basically ways to satisfy these mercury TMDLs. The best possible outcome is water conveyance entities don't get drug into this. they don't know which way it's going to go at this point. She did give me some numbers of MCDD, and one of their members is actually on this advisory committee. And then also an organization called Water Resources Congress or Council Congress. And they're kind of a public interest organization that represents different entities in the state of Oregon, and they are also on this committee. And we can also submit a public comment during the open public comment period of why we shouldn't be involved in this. I don't really know exactly what that looks like. Like I said, it's only been about a week since this thing kind of hit the other day. And I did some research on these public interest entities, and if somehow we could send them information that they could pass on to the government entities, the powers that be, if you will, trying to not get us and drug into these temperature TMDLs. Because they seem like they're a pretty involved process. The only good news is as with the mercury, they basically just told everybody, you do this. It's an unfunded mandate. You know, you pay for it, it's on you, and you report back, and we don't really care what it costs you or what you have to do. With the new one, it sounds like that since it's the way the process is set up, that the financial burden to all of these organizations that get drug into these things is actually taken into consideration. And there could be, I don't know if there's going to be money available or if it's just going to be, if it's a financial burden, you don't have to do it. There's a lot in the air right now, and they really didn't have a lot of answers. But I just wanted to let the board know that we have another one of these things possibly coming down the pipe in the near future. And I'm not sure the step, if we make public comment, I'm sure it has to be approved by the board, which could issue, there could be a timing issue in there. There's an informational webinar on January 31st that I plan on attending as well. And just trying to see exactly how this thing is kind of shape itself. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, if Western Resources Legal Center is dealing with this at the same time right now, I don't know if any of their entities are getting drug into this thing. But it'd be nice to, if we can find some more feedback into exactly how we deal with these type of advisory committees and if there's a way that we can stay out of this process. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do. Are there any questions?
I don't have a question. I just think the only comment that is after, you know, after the webinar on the 31st, if something happens that, you know, triggers us to necessitate the fact that we need to make a public comment, or it would be, you know, it would be necessary for us to make a public comment, then you said that that might be a board, that would have to be a board approved thing.
That kind of puts us in a tight spot too, because it sounds like the public comment period is going to be open for several months. So that would be beneficial to us. I'm not sure if we could get a public comment put together and approved during the annual meeting.
Okay.
Is this something that Jeff Condit has any thoughts about at this time?
Well, I'm unfamiliar with the particular process, but if you'd like us to look into that, I could have an associate do that and sort of give you the facts on it. I don't think it would take a huge amount of time or cost.
Well, maybe
Caroline, we'll raise your hand. You want to take a public comment, Rob?
Yeah, go ahead, Caroline. Thanks for chiming in. Go ahead.
This doesn't have to be public comment, but just to respond to Chase's inquiry. I would, to the extent that the district wants to remove itself from the process, I would recommend making those public comments. Ultimately, if it gets challenged and you don't make those comments, they're not in the record to review the state agency's decision, which would be where you would ultimately be able to challenge it. And I would also recommend kind of getting some feedback from other similarly situated districts, whether it's irrigation or drainage, to see whether there is some strength and unity on this, so that that would be more impactful in the advisory committee's ultimate recommendations, and then ultimately the state's adoption of a recommendation or an ultimate agency decision.
And that was kind of why, to follow up with that, is that's kind of why I looked into that Oregon. Let's see if I can find that report. So this organization here, I looked into, so they're basically, they advocate for these special districts. Whoops. Can everybody see that on your screen? So here they have Multnomah County Drainage District, Santee M Water Control District, Lacombe Irrigation District. And I don't know how you get into this organization, but this organization is actually on the advisory committee. And so I don't know, I was going to try to reach out to them. I have the name of the director to see if there's a way that we could, I mean, I figure if MCDD's in there, we should be, you know, right in line with that. And to try to see if I don't know if they take it sounds like it's a member ran organization. So they probably take votes on stuff, or there's a board. And so I was hoping, since they're on the advisory committee, if we went through them and then they could lobby on our behalf to not get us drug into this thing.
Do you have a contact at MCDD?
Yeah, I'd have to.
MCDD.
Yeah, I left the notes at the office. I apologize.
It's okay.
But the DEQ gave me the name of the contact at MCDD, who's actually on the advisory committee. With this organization. And so I was going to try to reach out to them. I haven't had a chance in the last couple of days.
You don't probably know what Sylvie Island is doing with this either.
Reached out to them. No, they're, I'm just trying to figure out how to get kind of our voices heard as quickly as possible, because this thing is moving pretty fast.
So when is the deadline, did you say, for the public comments?
Let me see. stop share for a second. I'd have to look through. I have several.
Well, if you can take a crack at drafting a public comment for us, you know, if there's a deadline coming up, I would be in favor of that. But I'd also support the idea of getting help from Jeff Condit if you feel that is necessary.
Well, I think if we had time, so the meeting's on January 31st. I mean, we could try to make a board meeting during the annual meeting, knowing that this thing's kind of coming down the line, if you will. And even if we had a change in the board, most of the board will still be aware of it. So we could.
So the webinar is what's on the 31st, and the deadline for the public comment would not be before then.
No. Yeah. It'll be after that.
Okay.
But I want to make sure that there's an advisory committee meeting right at the end of February. So if we were to possibly reach out to some of these other organizations, we would need to probably have a concerted, you know, voice to give to them, so that when they go into the advisory committee meeting, we have a statement from us.
Well, it sounds like I don't know what the other board members think, but it sounds like we should definitely participate in the public comment process regarding this.
Yeah, I think it's critical that we attend the webinar on the 31st and then get a real feel for what the next step's going to be. But I mean, if my gut's telling me that we're going to want to make a public comment on this, whether we do it on behalf of a group or through another entity or just through SDIC, I think we're going to want to comment on this. Hopefully not. Hopefully the webinar on it takes us in a different direction, but I don't have the warm and fuzzy about it.
Well, I think it's appropriate after the webinar, if not all of us are able to attend that, if you want to send a quick summary, Chase, to us, just to keep us apprised before the annual meeting.
Yeah, I'll make a note to...
Would that be possible?
This is Debbie Murphy, and I don't know if it's possible if Chase could provide the webinar information, because I'm more than willing to assist in drafting some comments too. This is in my bailiwick.
I'll forward you the email, Debbie.
Yeah, and thanks for volunteering to help out with that, Debbie. That'll be it'll be an important thing. So awesome. Thank you.
So Chase, do you have what you need to proceed on that? It's such a giant question mark, right?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I just wanted to get this out there and know this thing's coming at us. So it's just, like I said, I got a lot of emails in last week and forwarding from community members and saying, you know, not sure if you know about this, but here it is. So.
Well, you've done such a fine job with it, you know, so far. So.
I do appreciate the community members that sent that on to us. That's always a big help. I was on their mailing list, but just in case I'm not, feel free to always forward that stuff to me. So,
yeah, I'll second that. It's been very helpful. We've got a lot of good feedback, and there's a lot of people that aren't on the board that have been forwarding us things and things that we should be looking at, and appreciate it. Some of the stuff has turned out to be pretty important, so we appreciate you. We appreciate all the involvement.
Hmm. Okay, that wraps up mine. We'll go back to the COLA.
What time did it finally post, Chase?
I don't know. I just went there and it was on there. So I...
It wasn't on there this morning. I was kind of bummed and I started driving out here, but I'm glad it's on there. Well, maybe I'm glad it's on there. I'm not sure. It depends on what that number is.
Did everybody see that?
Yeah.
So this is the consumer price index, Bureau of Labor Statistics, West region, which is our region. The CPIU, which is urban, 1 month, 12 month percentage changes. So last month is actually down. It's dropped, or it's increased at a decreasing rate, going back to the old econ. So then what I did is I just took these and haven't really come up with a plan on how to actually look at the COLAs here. What I did is Rob and his last spreadsheet. So this is basically transposing those numbers into an Excel spreadsheet. Can everybody see this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And basically it just takes a 12-month average. So the December number, of course, is a running 12-month average as of, so basically from December of last year to December of this year, inflation is currently sitting at 6.2% under the consumer price index. You can see it changes throughout the year. So the thought process that Rob would come up with is basically just average the inflation, which would be the 12-month running average of inflation for the last 12 months, comes up to 8.0. Does that make sense to everybody?
I just punched it in too, Chase, and that's the same. I got 8.0 also.
Got it.
And that's what we amended our policy to state, right? That we were going to do that.
Oh, sorry. No, we stated to use this as a baseline for the decision. So we came up with a consistent, basically CPI US index, and this is what you're going to base your decision on. You don't have to do this. This is just providing you the information to make a decision.
Okay.
And one of the things I just like to comment on, you know, this is kind of an unprecedented time, you know, having 8% on the consumer price index. And, you know, obviously I know there's a lot of landowners and a lot of interested parties that would probably balk at an 8% cost of living adjustment from here, you know, year over year over year, should this continue, this economic environment that we're living in continue. So what I've done, and I think Chase and I have talked about a little bit, is I've looked at other entities. I've looked at the state of Oregon. I've looked at some other folks. And a lot of the folks that use the CPI as an index for their COLA, they cap it. And so, for instance, when the state of Oregon uses CPI West Coast as an index for their Social Security increases year over year, they cap it at like 3% or 5% or something like that. And so if the CPI 1 year is 15%, it doesn't necessarily force them to give a 15% increase to the employee's salaries. It caps it at a certain number. And so I'm just going to throw that out there as a recommendation for this board, but also just as they're thinking going forward, is perhaps if we're going to use this index, which I think it's a good idea to use this index so we don't just pull numbers out of thin air, I think we should probably have a range that says no less than X and no more than Y, just to kind of keep us consistent for these years where our numbers are a little bit goofy. That's the only comment I had, Chase, but I got 8% also. Does anybody else from the board have any comment to that, to the not only to the 8%, but just kind of the concept in general, regardless of what we do this year? What's most critical is, you know, that we set a precedent for how we do things going forward.
Yeah, I agree with your capping, because otherwise this becomes a mandate. And you know, it could be 12% next year. Who knows? I mean, the recession in the economy could take it to 12. So we sure don't want to be stuck to that kind of a level. So, yeah, most of the transactions and things I've been involved with, the CPI index always had a range number in it, you know. And it was like the numbers you're talking about, you know, 2 to 4, somewhere in that range of CPI index.
Thanks, Len. Karen or Gary or Amanda, any comment to the COLA? Okay.
I agree with you on having a cap on it.
With, I'm sorry, Amanda, with having a what? Sorry.
The cap set at some number. Sure. A minimum and a maximum.
Okay.
Why would we need really it? Sorry, Gary, go ahead.
I don't really know a lot about how this works, but I get the cap on the top side. If you have a cap on the bottom, what happens if you get into a deflationary situation? Are we still going to, I don't know that we will, but are we still going to say, in Len's example, it's going to be 2% on the bottom, or how does that work?
Well, I think that's a good, that's a good question. And in my experience, what it does is it kind of forces you as an employer to continuously move your employees in a certain direction. And so if we're in a deflationary economic environment, or if we have an inflation that tends to be, like, say it's 1.1%, and our cap is, you know, our range is 2 to 5, we would err on the side of the employee and let them know that, you know, their COLA is going to be 2%, because that's our minimum. And so it just kind of keeps rates moving forward, and it keeps, at least from what I've seen, it just kind of keeps over time, things don't tend to get cheaper. They tend to get more expensive. And if we see ourselves as an employer, salaries don't typically go down when the economy takes a dump. And they definitely don't tend to go up at 8% a year either, or 9 or 10 or anything else percent either. So it kind of just gives you a little bit of discretion as the employer more than anything.
Sure. And I wasn't expecting that it would go down. I just didn't know if the cap on the bottom side, if you got into a bad situation, would be, you know, necessarily prudent. In other words, I never envision it, you know, going backwards for an employee. Don't get the wrong impression there. Just asking the question so I can understand where we're going with this.
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's just kind of my thinking. I'm sure there's other schools of thought. That's just kind of the way I interpret it.
So are you proposing that we take some kind of an action, Rob?
Yeah, I think it's important to not go too far down the road before we agree and we approve the COLA for our two folks. We don't, which is an unfortunate thing, but we don't, you know, we just started formalizing this process a year ago. Or we just initiated this process a year ago, and then we started to really kind of put the details in a couple months ago. And so I don't think that it's fair, just from a longevity point of view. I think that we don't have enough precedent set to say that, you know, the CPI is 8%, but we should agree on 2%. I'm really not a fan of pulling numbers out of thin air. And I really like to be consistent with how we administer these increases. So my recommendation, I guess, at the end of the day is that we stick true to what we recommended last month, and we go with the COLA as presented for this year. But going forward, we identify the fact that this is in a unique year, and that in any other unique years, we need to protect ourselves as an employer. And also, you know, as a landowner, you know, assessment based entity. So we need to give ourselves some type of a range. We need to give ourselves either a high limit or a low limit or a combination of the two, but at least a limit on the high end. And I think we can do some research and look around and see what other entities are doing to find that number up. Unfortunately, I don't want to take the next 3-4 months doing all that research and leaving this COLA unfinished. So I know that was a lot of words, but I guess at the end of the day, I recommend we take the COLA as presented. We agree on it, we vote on it, and we approve it. And then we commit as a team that we're going to have a real hard discussion going forward about how we want this to look in the future. Are there any thoughts on that? I mean, I can be persuaded. I don't want to be the dictator in the situation. I just wanted to throw my two cents out there. So is there anybody else that has?
You should make a motion. And then we can discuss it.
And let's discuss it a little bit first before the motion's presented. Does anybody else have a different motion that they'd like to look at, or are we at a point where we want to move forward on this? Awfully quiet group tonight.
Well,
I think everyone thinks what you said makes sense. So I think you should go ahead and make a motion.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to craft this thing as articulate as I can, Mr. Condit, but if I butcher it, please help me. So I think I make a motion that we approve the COLA as presented and as calculated by the metrics and the data that we put forth in the last meeting. For the 2022 cost of living adjustment for our two employees. That good enough, or does that not cover it, Jeff?
That's good enough, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion?
Can you repeat all of those fancy words you just said? So
I
try to
write that down. I was going to be amazed if you caught that, Amanda. I would never have been able to.
I got to approve COLA, and I'm first I made it.
Approve COLA as listed on screen.
Yeah.
No, I just want to make sure that in this motion, I want the folks, so if I fall off the face of the earth tomorrow, I want them to understand that this isn't something we pulled out of thin air. This is a calculated metric. So the motion is to approve the COLA as presented and as calculated based on the index and the metrics that we've created last month, and we committed to following last month, which is 8.0% for 2022 for our two employees.
2023, the labor year.
Yeah, thank you. You're right. Yeah, 2023. I can't tell you how many times I've written down 2022.
Yeah, it's easy, Rob. It's
easy. 2 weeks is still doing it. So
Amanda, just take your time. Get it.
So move to approve the COLA as presented and calculated based on the metrics and calculations agreed on in December of 2022 going forward for 2023.
Right? Sounds close enough to me. And then, like I said, for those in the public that are listening and have their ears perked up when we start talking about this, don't get me wrong. I am fully committed to making sure, and I know our board is too, making sure we continue to formalize this process going forward. This is a process that is not complete, and it's a process that's imperfect. But this board especially is committed on making this, bulletproof
and consistent. In that motion, do we need to say something like, on the calculations agreed on December 2022 for 2023, which will be 8% for the year of 2023. Do we need to say the exact percentage in that motion, I assume?
That's up to you, Jeff. I don't think so, but do we have this document saved now and the spreadsheet saved, so.
Yeah, I don't think you have to, but if you want to be more precise, you can amend if the motion maker of the motion is willing to accept that as a friendly amendment, and the second also accepts that.
That sound good to you guys, just for specificity?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's an average of the previous of the 12 months of 2022. Yeah.
So. And Karen seconded it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. Yeah. We can continue.
Amazing. Well done.
We haven't voted on it yet, but is there any further discussion before we vote? Okay. Gary, Lynn, anything?
I was just playing with a formula. If we took the COLA, it's been a five max, two minimum, and then we took whatever that the COLA for the year is and divided it by two. So if today's the number, that would be 4%, it wouldn't get to five. That would give us a range, and we would never get over five.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just my own perception again, but I think that it's important that we set a cap or a high end, a ceiling, whatever that is.
Yeah.
We've really been committed over the years to not raising assessments and doing all these other things. And we're trying real hard to become more efficient and lower cost every chance we get. We need to have something in there that caps this. So.
Well, yeah, we need to be fair to the landowners, the company, and we need to be fair to the employees, and we need to make sure we're not talking about that in December of next year.
Fully agree. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well said. Okay. Well, if there's no further discussion, let's go ahead and vote. All in favor for 8% for 2022, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2023, you mean?
Oh, 2023. Sorry.
Sorry, Ron.
It's going to be a long year. I can already see it. Oh, man. Thank you. Okay. I heard four ayes. Amanda, did you vote too?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you say aye?
I did.
Okay. All right. So five eyes. All right. Motion carries. And Chase, thanks for getting those numbers for us. I really, especially for me and my situation today, I appreciate you getting those because I was not prepared for it.
No problem. I was actually wondering if it was actually going to be out.
They said it was going to. They said today was the day they would have it. But man, I checked it. Like, I think I left town at 10 and it was not on there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, can you share your screen again, Chase, so we can see where we're at? I know we kind of jumped around a little bit, and
my phone. Can. Was on.
Okay, was there anything else on the manager's report we need to go over, or was COLA the last thing?
Action items was the annual meeting. I just wanted to ask if you have enough help for that, Chase, to get that prepared.
Yep. So after we decided the actual date, I think it was a couple meetings ago, I immediately reached out to Todd and Lori. They are both available. They both have us on their schedule.
Yay.
The mailer, if you will, is basically just going to be a rerun of last year, because we having the meeting in June of last year, we got the county sends us a member roster, around April. And so we really don't have a new roster. If there's been property changes, I mean, we'd have to search every lot, and that's just not something that we should be required to do. And so it's basically going to be a rerun of last year. And the only thing that I need is the president's annual message. Last year we sent out, there's a lot of bylaws, red line, clean. And so the mailer last year was pretty good size. This year, hopefully it's be pretty straight to the point. With that, then I'll just type up or print up the normal reports we have. Last year it worked good because right at the end of our technical fiscal year, so the reports were extremely accurate. This year it's going to be kind of a summary because we're only technically, you know, halfway through our fiscal year at this point, a little over halfway through. And so, but I can tweak those reports to present at the meetings.
Do you think it makes sense at some point to look at, I mean, the reason we're moving this, having this meeting in February is because that's what it says in our bylaws. And does it make sense to you to consider changing the bylaws to having our annual meeting at a different time of the year?
No, I think this time of the year is a good time of the year. We have in the middle of the summertime, you know, people are busy. I remember last year during the SWOT analysis, there was a lot of comments from a lot of the agricultural entities within the district that, you know, that's their busy time of year. They're, you know, everybody's going strong. This time of year seems to kind of be the quote unquote slow time. And so I think this is probably a good time to keep it.
Okay. Well, it's not the slow time for you, but
for me.
Yeah. But okay. All right. Thank you.
And it's wet and rain and there's water everywhere and everybody loves that. So.
Mm. Okay.
There are some disadvantages to February too.
Yes.
No, but I think you're spot on. Okay.
Do we need to go over any other action items for anyone, for everyone else, or what else came up here that we need to do? Attend a meeting on February 6th.
And January 31st.
January 31st.
Yeah, I need to update the website with the SWOT process. We've kind of decided moving forward.
And that's getting included in the packet to the landowners.
Yeah, it's going to be on the website no matter what, but okay. It's going to be also brought in with the packet of the landowners. Try to get the MS Teams link for the stormwater meeting February 6th.
Okay.
I need to forward the email, DEQ emails of Debbie Murphy. And then on the January 31st meeting, the webinar summary to the board.
And then the board needs to send any feedback regarding the employee handbook.
Yes.
To Chase. And we probably just need to bookmark making a maintenance schedule for the house and getting our COLA policy figured out sometime before December when we're doing our annual reviews.
Yes.
I don't know. Did we catch anything else that we need to add to our list?
The only thing that I had, the only thing that hasn't been mentioned yet was that right after the annual landowner meeting, when we have our first annual board meeting, one of the first items I'm going to bring up is the O&M manual. We might set up a subcommittee or a couple groups, a couple folks to work with Chase to update that and clean that up.
And I just want to remind everybody that any subcommittee work needs to be noticed. But They're all public meetings.
The subcommittee meetings do, you said? Okay.
Especially if the subcommittee is going to make a recommendation to the board of directors on a decision.
Well, it's my understanding the O&M manual has to be adopted by the board at some point in time. And so this subcommittee would definitely be making a recommendation to the board if it's up for adoption or anything. Piece cake. All right. I think we've covered all the action items. It is 7:32. So again, I have failed you folks. I told you that we would have our meetings be about an hour, and we've gone an hour and a half. But I think we covered a lot of good things, a lot of important things in this meeting. So thank you all for being a part of it, and members of the public. I think Lori, if you're still on, I don't know if Todd, I don't see Todd on, but thanks for volunteering to help out for the annual meeting. That is going to be right around the corner before we know it. So full steam ahead, and thank you all.
We should also just announce, in case anybody didn't know this already, but our monthly meeting for February is right after the annual landowner meeting. It is not on our normal second Thursday of the month. Correct? Yeah,
good. Good point. Yep.
Probably everybody knew that already, but you know, there's nothing like, you know, I'm good at stating the obvious. So
no, I'm glad you did. That was great. So, okay. Lynn, Amanda, Gary, anything else?
Not me, I'm done.
Always like to thank Chase for doing such a great job.
Yep.
You bet. For sure. Okay, everyone. Well, it's 7:34. Let's go ahead and adjourn this thing. Have a great night. And thanks for being a part of this. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.